Three tricks later, what I was doing became almost obvious. As I'd hoped, Ronnie's smirk became the expression I most enjoyed seeing on his face, the disgruntled pout. "You can't," he said. "I don't believe it. Not in a hold hand. You ain't got the fucking horses." Yet he knew it was possible. It was in his voice. "Well, let's see," I said, and played the ace of hearts. I was running in the open now, but why not? If the hearts were spread evenly, I could win the game right here. "Let's just see what we..." "Look," Skip called from the table nearest the window. His voice held disbelief and a kind of awe. "Jesus Christ, it's fucking Stokely." Play stopped. We all swiveled in our chairs to look out the window at the darkening, dripping world below us. The quartet of boys in the corner stood up to see. The old wrought iron lamps on Bennett's Walk cast weak electric beams through the ground mist, making me think of London and Tyne Street and Jack the Ripper. From its place on the hill, Holyoke Commons looked more like an ocean liner than ever. Its shape wavered as rain streamed down the lounge windows. "Fucking rip-rip, out in this crap." "I don't believe it," Ronnie breathed. Stoke came rapidly down the path which led from the north entrance of Chamberlain to the place where all the asphalt paths joined in the lowest part of Bennett's Run. He was wearing his old duffel coat, and it was clear he hadn't just come from the dorm. The coat was soaked through. Even through the streaming glass, we could see the peace sign on his back, as black as the words, which were now partly covered by a square of yellow canvas, if it was still up. His wild hair was soaked into submission. Stoke never looked toward his killer president graffiti, just thumped on toward Bennett's Walk. He was going faster than I'd ever seen him move, paying no heed to the driving rain, the rising mist, or the slop under his crutches. Did he want to fall? Was he daring the slushy crap to take him down? I don't know. Maybe he was just too deep in his own thoughts to have any idea of how fast he was moving or how bad the conditions were. Either way, he wasn't going to get far if he didn't cool it. Ronnie began to giggle, and the sound spread the way a little flame spreads through dry tinder. I didn't want to join in, but was helpless to stop. So, I saw, was Skip. Partly because giggling is contagious, but also because it really was funny. I know how unkind that sounds, of course I do, but I've come too far not to tell the truth about that day. And this day, almost half a lifetime later, because it still seems funny to me. I still smile when I think back to how he looked, a frantic clockwork toy in a duffel coat, thudding along through the pouring rain, his crutches splashing up water as he went. You knew what was going to happen. You just knew it. And that was the funniest part of all, the question of just how far he could make it before the inevitable wipeout.